It was transparent. Everything in heaven, the flowers, the grass, the trees, it's as though they are so pure you could see through them, and yet you can see them. I don't know how to explain that, all right? That's all I can say. It's as though they're so pure you could see through them, and yet you can see them. That's purity. It's called transparency. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear. And then Revelation 19, verse 8, and to her, and I've quoted this to you tonight, but I stopped short of reading it in the beginning, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And I want to close out of Revelation chapter 7 and read to you this great wonder in heaven and show to you that white raiment plays a very vital role of this great spectacle in heaven. Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. Now, this is after 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes are sealed, right? That's after the 144,000. Look at this, verse 9. It's not a new paragraph. It just simply says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. When was the previous time they stood with palms in their hands? When Jesus entered Jerusalem, wasn't it? And now here they are in heaven, reflecting in purity that which they gave forth on earth when He was there. Verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Which amen means, even so, let it be. Hallelujah. And then verse 13. Look at this one. What is an elder? Is an elder someone there because they've been there a long time? You don't get to be an elder overnight, do you? You get to be an elder because you've gained that notoriety, that position of level. Because you've been there, you're seasoned in that environment. I believe this elder had seen perhaps hundreds of thousands of homecomings. Glorious saints coming home. But now all of a sudden this elder sees this. And look at his response. You can tell he's never seen this one before by what he says. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these? Why does he say, what are these? You ever think about that? Why doesn't he say, who are these? Look at his description of them. What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And have from whence did they come? Where did they come from? That means they've never been in heaven before, doesn't it? All of a sudden, a multitude that no man could number from every nation, kindred, and tongue is come up before the throne and are worshiping God in white robes. I believe that what we're looking at there is in very possibly the glorious church homecoming. And why is it called glorious, the Ephesians 5:27 church? It's called glorious because it is without spot or wrinkle. And the word glorious means bright and shining and apparent as the noonday sun. Think about that. That means out in the open, doesn't it? Is your life out in the open? Is the world saying about you when you meet another Christian, look how they love one another? That's what they said about Jesus and His disciples. So it's possible for you and me. We need to begin to get excited when we see fellow brothers and sisters. We need to begin to take on that character. We need to begin to take on that nature more and more. I want you to think with me for a moment. A few years ago, a tape was being circulated around. It was called the Angelic Praise Tape. Some of you may have heard that. It was taped by an individual that had purchased a very small handheld recorder, took it to his choir practice that was going to be practicing in a cappella. The only thing they had in that church was an organ. No instruments other than an organ. No one was playing the organ. They would be singing these songs a cappella, which means no accompaniment of instruments. He popped on his new recorder, wanting to use it. You know, you would too in those days when those new recorders come out. You want to use them. What better than take it to a choir practice so you can take it home and see how you sound? Your voice is the closest to it, so you can tell how you're sounding. But when he got home, rewound it, and played it, the choir began to practice, and all of a sudden it was overridden by myriads of voices, French horns, harps, all manner of instruments. The first time I heard it, the tears just shot out of my eyes. My son, who at that time, our eldest son, was getting kind of hardened. We'd been going to a church and there was a split and he really got hurt. I took it to him and I said, why don't you put the headphones on and listen to this. That young man sat there and started bawling his eyes out and repenting. And he said, that's real. That's real. That's real. But you know, there was so many singing, I could just barely distinguish a tenor voice in there, but I couldn't understand what the tenor voice was singing. And I got so hungry to hear it, and I'd driven down to Arizona to minister. And here I was back at the same parking lot of this Baptist church again. And I just realized that now. There seemed to be a significance about that Skyway Baptist Church near Luke Air Force Base. I was sitting in the parking lot waiting for some pastors to come. We were going to have a prayer meeting. And I was so hungry by then. I said, Lord, I want to know what that tenor voice is saying. Singing, I can't understand the words. Will you let me just focus in beyond all those voices and all those instruments? Let me just hear that tenor voice. I put it in, rewound it, and pushed it to play, and it started playing. And all of a sudden, when that tenor voice came in, I could hear those words so clear. It was like he was singing a solo. And you know what the words were? Hallelujah's ringing all across the land. All the people singing at the Lord's command. And then all of a sudden I hear an intercession like it's coming from the earth up into heaven. And it's a woman's voice and she's weeping and she's travailing and she's crying out. And I hear this travail coming up and interrupting this tenor's voice. And this woman's travail is coming through to heaven and it's saying these words, oh Lord, help us to come out of our carnality with eyes only for this world, to work from the light of heaven, to redeem the time in every land so the harvest can come in. And oh, I tell you, I sit there. And when those pastors arrived, I not only was sitting in the car, but I was down on the floorboard, my knees on the floorboard, and I was crying out to God and saying, oh God, help me every day of my life to work from the light of heaven. Help me to have a fervent love for your church wherever I find her. I found his church up in the frozen wastes of Siberia. I've loved his people in Siberia. I've loved them in the northernmost Eskimo villages on the Arctic Ocean. I've loved them on the desert sands of the Middle East. I've loved them over along the waterways and along the lands of Europe, in Eastern and Western Europe from Portugal and where the Atlantic meets the Mediterranean. I've loved them in Algiers and over in Morocco. I've loved them in places where I found them. I've loved them in Egypt. I've found God's people all over the earth, but oftentimes just little bitty handfuls. But oh, I tell you, we need to love one another. We need to settle in our heart that if we find sin in a brother or a sister, we will fulfill the plan that God gave us through the Apostle Paul in Corinthians. If any of you, does that include some of us, part of us, any of us, or all of us? It includes all of us, doesn't it? If any of you see a brother or a sister overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, go and restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Do you see what I'm saying? Lest you also be tempted. Oh, I tell you, if I can leave any message with you, it's this. Remember the Lord's Prayer. And I pray that every time you hear the Lord's Prayer, that you will remember these words that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father. So we address our Father. You've heard me talking the Father a lot. My communion with the Father is sweet and precious. I long for the day when, as part of the bride, I will know the Father so well. I will look at Him and He will look at me, and we will smile at one another as we walk down that aisle. And the bride is arrayed in white raiment with a train that fills the aisle, because the Lamb of God is worthy to have a bride that has a train that fills the aisle. Because Isaiah saw Him high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. He is worthy to have a bride that fills the aisle. You see what I'm saying? He is worthy. I long that we, each one of us, would be so filled with the works of righteousness that the Word will begin to be fulfilled here on the earth before we get to heaven. The word of His prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God bless you and thank you.